We can build it for down. We just got closing. That makes sense.
And I don't want to mess with Queen Jean. Because I know what she turns into when she gets angry.
Yeah, she turns into
Mean Jean.
Queen Jean.
It's a Mean Jean, so we don't mess with Queen Jean. We just let her go. Praise the Lord.
Queen Jean and Mr. Green Jean as
well. Yeah. Where's this picture? So, hi everybody. Glad to be back. I was just thinking about Curtis while I was riding roller coasters down in Kings Island and get a text from Danny. Hey, can you come speak? It's great. I wasn't looking at my phone riding the roller coaster. Okay, you're not allowed to do that. It was after. But it was just funny. Because I was thinking about Curtis and everybody here.
Oh, yeah.
I was. I am tired, by the way, too. So, I'm just going to put in a shameless plug that Danny would allow. On Friday nights, it's on Zoom, and it's also between my house and Larry Levinsky's house, we have something called Friday Night Lights. Okay? And we are going over end times, Revelation, Millennial Kingdom, stuff like that. This Friday will be the next one. It's at my house. So if anyone would like to Zoom in or come over, even for dinner, that'd be great. Get with me. And more than love to have you. You know, if you're not busy on Fridays, you know, sometimes we need to, you know, go out and party on Fridays. So just take a break. But it's only every other Friday. So you have one Friday or two Fridays a month that are yours, and you get two Fridays to come to study. It's great. It's perfect. And we've got people from Florida. We've got people from all over the place. So, that being said, some sermons are given by inspiration, right? You're reading the Word, you're picking something out, and you say to yourself, this is great, the Lord opens your eyes, reveals stuff. Mine was twofold for this one. The first part of the inspiration came when there was a leak from the Supreme Court about an opinion of Roe versus Wade. Okay, and it's, remember, there's thousands of opinions about one case, right? I don't know if you know that. And sometimes they will change one word of an opinion, and they'll change this word up here, and there are thousands going all over between all the justices. This was just one was leaked. And it's very serious, very, very serious. The second part of the inspiration was my nap. I took a nap. And during that nap, I got the outline for my sermon. Is that crazy or what? Naps are good, by the way. Especially, you know, for us older folk, like Danny, myself. Naps are good. You just need them every once in a while. So, today, I want to talk a little bit about life. But I want this to be an encouragement to us all. Okay? I want this to be an encouragement. It's not your normal sermon. And by the way, it's not my normal sermon because something's not here projecting something, right? I don't have my projector. I don't have my thing. It's all just up here. But I want to start off by saying this. There's three points I want to make to you this morning. The first one is, if your starting point is off, then your life is going to be off. If your starting point, your foundation, the thing that you build on is wrong, the rest of your life is going to be off. Okay? Our foundation is essential. The foundation of your life, your spiritual life, is essential. Now, I have friends who are builders. Danny's a builder. Julio's a builder. When you make that foundation, it is absolutely, has to be right. Level, strong, solid. Because if it's not, when you build that building, you're going to find cracks, you're going to find things that are wrong, angles that are wrong, and years later, that building is not going to be right. Because its foundation is bad. Okay? And it goes the same for us as Christians. Now, for believers, 1 Corinthians 3:11 says this, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which was laid, which is what? Jesus Christ." Right? Your foundation as a believer has to have Jesus Christ. He is our foundation. End of story, period. But it's not just any Jesus that the world can make up, right? It has to be the right Jesus. Because there's the Jesus of the Mormons, right? Who's not the Jesus of the Bible. There's the Jesus of Jehovah's Witnesses, who's the Archangel Michael. No, it has to be the Son of God. God the Son, the second person of the Trinity. That Jesus, he has to be our foundation. It's interesting, if we look at life, and if we specifically look at the thoughts about abortion and about the whole debate, right, Roe versus Wade, because it's coming, folks. No matter what we think or whatever, there's a decision coming. And one side or the other is going to get angry. Right? Now, I will say, one side will be more angry and do worse things than the other side. Right? If the ruling comes down. But I'm saying this. For a human being, for life, when we look at the life of a person, of a human soul, where does it start? If our foundation is wrong, then the way we look at human beings will be wrong. Human life, when we look back in the book of Genesis, right, God first created Adam. And it says he created Adam from the dust of the earth. And then it says he breathed into him the breath of life and he became a living soul. Okay? Special creation. He created Adam. And he created Adam in his likeness. In other words, he had a mind, a will, and emotions. And he carried with him some of the attributes of God, the non-communicable attributes, or the communicable attributes of God, right? But then he created Eve from the side, took a rib out of Adam, created Eve, special creation. But then, God gave us what is called procreation. And that is when a man and a woman, husband and wife, know each other as the Bible terminology, and they have a child. It's procreation. And that baby is formed in the womb. The Bible talks about you being knit together in your mother's womb. Isn't that interesting, that word? When you knit something, you've got to do it very precisely and perfectly and get all the thread just right. And then when you're all done, it's a beautiful whatever it is. Right? Knit one, purl two, my wife's doing this stuff. No, I don't know what it is. I couldn't do it if you paid me $1 million. Okay, to sit and go like that. What?
I'm a long member of Drops of Stitch.
Really?
Think about a million.
Huh.
Okay.
But you were knit in your mother's womb. And right from the time of conception, you were a person. That's when personhood begins for procreation. Right? It's not when the heart starts beating. It's not when you can register brain function. And it's not when the baby is born. And oh, by the way, did you know that in California, they passed a law that you can kill a child 3 weeks after it's born? After it's born. See, life, for a lot of people, is meaningless. If I look at what the Bible says about life, life is precious. Because God is the giver of life, is he not? He is the one that gave life. He's the one that started life. Right? He created Adam and Eve. He allowed them to procreate. He gives us the breath of life. He is the giver of life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life." We believe that, right? And we always put it in the context of eternal life. He's the one that gives eternal life. But he is the one that gives life. The very fact that you woke up this morning, breathing, You should be giving praise to Jesus because He gave you that life. He sustains that life every day. Every day that I get up is just one more day that I can praise Jesus for giving me life. No matter what situation I'm in, life. But this world is so anti-life. Right? The Bible talks about the devil and how he comes to steal, to what?
To kill.
To kill and to destroy. He hates life. He hates your life. He hates my life. He wants your life and my life to end. To stop. Interestingly enough, when I was younger, before I came to Christ, I actually tried to commit suicide 3 times. Because I saw no value in my life. Right? My parents were divorced. I thought I was the problem. That a lot of divorced kids feel that way. They think they're the issue. Well, praise God, I didn't. Praise God. Because here I stand. Right? The Lord wants your life to count for Him. He wants everybody's life to count for Him. And that's why it's sad when you look up and you read, as David helped me this morning, 65 million babies have been aborted up to now from when Roe v. Wade started. 65 million. Think about that. There are 65 million human beings in heaven right now. Plus all the rest. All those children are in heaven right now. But they could have had a very productive life down here. But people hate life. And they want to destroy it. I want to read to you out of 1 Kings chapter 7. I know it's, you're going like, why are you going to 1 Kings? It's really interesting. 1 Kings chapter 7, because I want to just talk about this foundation. And our foundation needs to be right. Whether it's biblical foundation or it's life's foundation, it needs to be right. Absolutely right. So 1 Kings chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, what does it say? Starting in verse 7, it says this, "And he made the hall of the throne where he was to pronounce judgment, even the hall of judgment, it was finished with cedar from floor to rafters. His own house where he was to dwell, and the other court back of the hall, was of like workmanship. Solomon also made a house like this hall for Pharaoh's daughter, whom he had taken in marriage." Verse 9. "All of these were made of costly stones, cut according to measure, sawed with saws, back and front, even from the foundation to the coping, and from the outside to the great court. The foundation was of costly stones, huge stones, stones of 8 and 10 cubits. And above were costly stones, cut according to measurement, and cedar." Now, the important part I want you to see here is the foundation. Right? Because Solomon, when he made the temple, and he made his house, and made his wife's house, and made all these different places, they were beautiful. And they were perfect. Solomon's temple was beautiful. And the children of Israel, remember when they were rebuilding? And the old men were going like, "I remember the old temple, it was great. This is new." And the new kids were like, "Whoa, this is phenomenal." And the old people were like, "It's just not like what it was." Solomon's temple was beautiful. Well, guess what? What if he would have just built it, his beautiful temple, on cardboard? It wouldn't have stood the test of time, and it would have been a wreck. But it says, the foundation was of costly stones, huge stones. Your foundation was costly, right? Because Jesus Christ was the one who paid the price for it, His life, to give you a solid, sure foundation. Not just for your salvation, for your life. He paid the price, and it was costly. Now, when you build on that foundation like Solomon, he's using beautiful wood, cedar. He's using precious stones. He was using gold. He was using silver. He was using all these beautiful things to put on this precious foundation. so that when the temple was done, when his house was done, when her house was done, it was all beautiful. And when the storms of life come in, it doesn't move. Because could you imagine if the temple all of a sudden shifted and cracked and things broke and fit, you know what I mean? And they couldn't use it? Bad. That's bad. Because their life centered around it. Well, guess what? Your life's important too. And I don't want cracks. And I don't want things that are off kilter. Because that's how sometimes we feel. Our life is off kilter. This world is definitely off kilter. But your foundation is Jesus Christ. It's solid. You have a solid foundation. Solomon built with precision. So should you. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. How are you building? How are you building? What things are you doing? Right? In 1 Corinthians 3:12, it says this. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, verse 13, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one is doing. Now that you have this foundation, how are you building? Is it gold, silver, and precious stone? Something that when the fire hits it, it just purifies it? Or is it going to be with wood, hay, and stubble? Something that when the fire hits it, it's gone. Well, how do I know? How do I know what's wood, hay, stubble, and what's gold, silver, precious stone? Whatever is done for the Lord will last. Right? That's it. Serve and work for the Lord. Because whatever is done for self will pass. How am I building on this foundation? It's really sad to see the culture of death we live in. The culture of death we live in. We actually live in a culture that looks at human beings as less than animals. If you were to crush an eagle's egg, you know how much you would pay in a fine? $50,000. Break an eagle's egg, $50,000. Did you know that? Kill a human being? No big deal. No big deal. It's terrifying. And you know what the thing is? We're all the same. We're all the same. I remember I came here one time and I talked about the human race. We're all humans. We're all made in the image and likeness of God. We're all the same. And we all have the same value. And it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor or whatever country you come from. It doesn't matter. In God's eyes, you're valuable. Otherwise, he would just wipe us out and start it over again. But instead, he sent his son to die in our place. Right? Because he doesn't want to see anybody perish. Anybody. So, your starting point is off, your life is off, your building is off. Make sure that your foundation is Jesus Christ, and then make sure you're building properly. Right? Make sure. Now, second point. There is every good reason under the sun to fight for life. Every good reason to fight for life. Now, I think what is precious about this whole Roe v. Wade, maybe it's going to get overturned. You know, Christians believe in it. We want it to be overturned. We want life to rule. Isn't it interesting that God said in the Old Testament, today I have set before you life and death, what? Blessing and cursing. Life and blessing go together. Death and cursing go together. God then says, choose life that you may live. He does not want you to choose death. He wants you to choose life, because where life is, there is blessing. And I have heard so many stories of people who their mom got pregnant and, you know, for whatever reason, and they're in dire straits and stuff like that, and they decided to keep the baby. And then that baby grows up and has an impact in this world. Somehow, some way, and even if it's a small way, it doesn't matter. Because their story will come out, I'm glad my mother kept me. Mm-hmm. I'm glad my mother gave me life. Even if the mother gives the baby up for adoption, right? I am thankful I have life because now I am able to fill in the blank. And if you hear that story over and over and over again. And that is why it is imperative to fight for life. Fight for people's chance and right to live and to become what God wants them to become. Life is worth defending. Psalm chapter 94, verse 21. To talk about what the evil people do in the psalm. Psalm 94, verse 21 says this: they band together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. It sounds a lot like today. That's exactly what people are trying to do. The people of this world, they're banding together to try to steal away the life of the righteous and the life of the innocent. That's what they're doing. In fact, the people of this world feel that we're overpopulated, that we need to kill off a few billion people so that everything becomes manageable. You know what? Elon Musk is actually correct on this point. We're actually dying out because we're not having enough babies. We're not having enough. We actually are killing ourselves. Remember in the old days, and of course, you know, in the old days, what I was like, two, I don't remember, but people used to have like large families. Large families. And today, you know, we have one, two, you know, you're 2.7 or 2.3 or whatever. Europe, I think, is under 1%, under 1 or 1 point something children per household. Europe is dying. The Middle East, however, they're having 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, right? Japan actually wants people, they want men to go to Japan to have families because the Japanese are dying out. They're not having kids because they work 18 hours a day. It's crazy. And it's all against what God has said. Be fruitful and multiply. Right? It's interesting. When you look at God's Word, even when He touches on things that aren't like theological, like they're scientific or they're medical, they're right. So when He says be fruitful and multiply, it's for a reason. And fill the earth. Because He wants you to have more and more and more Christians who then get married and have more and more and more Christians. Just like He said to the Jews. But we need to fight for life because the other side is fighting to stop it. They're trying to kill life. Kill it. And it's sad. We talked about earlier, it's God that gives life, right? He breathed into Adam the breath of life and he became a living soul. God is the only one that can give life. Evolution teaches that you came here by accident, right? You had the one-celled organism that just appeared out of the Big Bang on this ball that just happened to form. And then that one-celled little thing started to mutate, and it became two and four, and then all of a sudden you have a cow, and you got a little sponge in the water, and you got a fish over here, and then you got a bird over here, and then monkey over there, and then out of the monkey gets a briefcase, and he climbs out of the tree, and he goes to work in an office building. Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. You are a special creation of God. Evolution is from the pit. He gave life because He is life. He has been around for all eternity. He is life. God is the one who gives life because He is life. And He's the one that desires life. We went over this already. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. It says this: I call the heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. I have set it before you. In other words, you're responsible. He said it to the Jews. You're responsible. I set this before you today. Well, guess what? We're responsible. We're responsible for the little circle around in our life, whatever we have influence over. Whether it's your kids, whether it's your family, whether you're in a business, or whether you're in a ministry, or whether wherever you're at, I can hand out a gospel tract if I want to, right? I could do that. The whole point is, you are responsible. I set before you today life and death, blessing and cursing. What are you going to choose today? Now, I tell you what. Just to tell you a little story. When my mom got pregnant with me, she was 42 years old. Right? That's kind of old. On the older side, right? My dad was 46. When my mom found out she was pregnant, she cried. And she didn't tell anybody. Because she didn't want any more kids. Okay? She kept the baby. And here I am. She chose that day life. She chose life. And that was precious. And I think, now I've never actually asked her, you know, if in her mind she was thinking about giving me up or having me terminated or whatever. But she had me. And then, of course, when I was born, she sat me in the fridge because she had already had four boys and a girl. So she sat me in front of the fridge and said, okay, feed yourself because I'm done with this stuff. Right? She's 43 years old. She's like, I'm not doing that. She did. She raised me the best that she could. Okay? What's precious is she wasn't a Christian at that time. Years later, as she was in her 70s, after I had become a Christian, and she thought I was a nutcase, right? Because we were raised in a certain religion. And you left that religion! Yes, Mom, I did. Because the Bible says you must be born again. She got saved. And right now, she's with the Lord. And that's precious. See how it works? The ramifications of your life are huge. And the choices that you make are huge. And when you choose life, there is blessing. There is blessing because that's how God wants it. Choose life. If only this world would choose life. It doesn't. This world chooses death. Doesn't it? I think of the tribulation period. I think of the time that's coming when Jesus is going to remove the church from this world. And the Antichrist is going to rule. And it says through peace he will destroy many. He will choose death. He's going to hunt down the Jews. And he's going to hunt down anyone who believes in Christ at that time. Anybody. And he's going to kill them. Death. Death reigns in this natural world, right? But it's not supposed to be here. Death reigns in this natural world. For by one man, sin entered the world, right? And then what does it say? And death through sin. Death came because Adam disobeyed. And death has been around ever since. But it wasn't supposed to be here. It was not supposed to, that's not how God made it. And that's why we need to fight for life. Whether it's the life of an unborn, or it's the life of your family, or it's the life of that person that's not saved. We need to fight for life. We have been given great and precious promises as believers. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Are you feeling down today? Are things down? There's trouble on every side. You're not alone. Because Jesus will never leave you. I love when we used to teach the kids in Sunday school. You can put your hand up. Go ahead, put your hand up like this. You can do it. Seriously. And you go like this. I will never leave you. And we teach the kids. And guess what? That's what Jesus says. I'm never leaving you. So no matter what you're going through, he's right there. And yeah, it's tough. And we feel sometimes we're alone, but we're never alone. And then you get into a fellowship like Curtis or like Calvary or like whatever, and all these believers, they're with you in those times. That's the way it should be. We never walk alone. Now, it's interesting how the devil wants us to walk alone, right? people with depression, what do? They lock themselves in their house, in their room, and all they do is play things through their head. He wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy us. We want to fight for life. We want to fight for life. Which brings me to my last point. Every person, no matter their upbringing, station, or status, should have the opportunity, the ability, to use their God-given talents. Everybody. Every person given a chance at life can make a huge impact where they're at. Or a small impact. It doesn't matter. I want to give you the example of Haggai, the prophet. Haggai, right? He's one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament. So he's called God to be a prophet. Isn't that fantastic? He's a prophet of God. Guess how long he ministered? 3 months. That's all he had. A little over 3 months is all the time that God gave him to minister. To tell the children of Israel, finish building the temple. Quit lollygagging. Get back on a horse. God told you to do it. Go do it. And all the people then, because of Haggai's ministry and Malachi's ministry, said, we will obey the Lord. And Haggai, we don't know if he died or not, but maybe he was able to see the temple rebuilt, or at least starting again the rebuilding process. 3 months, that's all he had. I think we've had a little longer than 3 months for a lot of us, right? We've been believers for a while. Somehow, ever, have only been believers a short time. It doesn't matter how long. You have an opportunity to make an impact, big or small, for the Lord in this world. Look at Matthew chapter 16. You could either leave, you can either listen, or you could go there. Matthew chapter 16, and then after this, we're going to look at Mark chapter 1. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. I need to give you the reference, so otherwise you can't look up on the read. Matthew 16:24, it says that Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. What in the world does that mean? I have not seen anybody in America traipsing around with a cross on their back. Let's talk about it for a minute. What was the cross? It was something created by the Greeks to kill people. It was something that was perfected by the Romans to keep people alive and tormented for as long as possible before they killed them. It was a symbol of death. It was a symbol of suffering. If you were put on the cross, you were a bad person. And you probably deserved it. Just like Barabbas. He should have been on the cross because he went against Rome. He was an insurrectionist. And insurrectionists, according to the law, should be crucified. But instead of Barabbas, they chose Jesus. But that cross is a method of death. And here Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you can take up your cross. In other words, this me that I show the world every day needs to die. This selfish person, this envious person, this weary, shameful person, I need to die so that the light of Christ can shine through me to everybody else. And I love God's creation, right? I love God's creation. He created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and everything that's out there. You look up into heaven, you see sun, moon, and stars, and you better thank God because He put them there. But it's interesting. The sun gives light, right? The sun, S-U-N, gives light. So does the S-O-N, by the way. Jesus gives us light. But the sun, S-U-N, gives light. What does the moon do? Nothing. No, actually it doesn't. Right, it keeps the waters exactly in place, and then waxing and waning. And, you know, we have high tide and low tide. That's all the moon. But Does the moon have any light of its own? No, it doesn't. In fact, where does the moon normally sit? On the dark side of the earth, right? Not on the light side where the sun's at, it sits on the dark side. But we see the moon, don't we? We see it. And sometimes it's a full moon, and sometimes it's a half moon, and sometimes it's a quarter moon, sometimes it looks like a sea, right? Where does it get its light from? The sun. Isn't that interesting? It reflects the light of the sun to the people on the dark side of the earth. What about you? What about me? I have no light of my own. I am useless in and of myself. It's only because the sun gives light, I need to reflect that light to those who walk in darkness. Because I have no light. Because I'm a scumbag, just like everybody else is. Right? I'm a sinner. I need to reflect the light of Christ. He asks us to die daily. I don't want people to see me. I want people to see Christ through me. John the Baptist said it. I must what? Decrease, and he must increase. Get me out of here. Get me out of here. And when I'm forward and Jesus is back, that's when all the trouble starts. Right? Because it's all about me. But the problem is we do that a lot. Help us, Lord, to push ourselves to the back. Right? But then Mark 1:17 says, Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. Peter was a fisherman. A lot of the disciples were fishermen. Now, I've fished a few times, and I've caught a couple of fish, but I'm never a big fisherman. But the whole thing is, Jesus wants you to be a fisher of men. In other words, preach that gospel. Preach that gospel. Give them the good news that even though you are a sinner and you've broken every one of God's commandments, you couldn't keep one if you tried. And because of that, your sin must be punished, judged. And our judgment without Christ is eternity in the lake of fire. But God, who is rich in mercy, I love that word but, the conjunction, right? It changes the story. God gave his only begotten Son to die in my place, in your place, to give us life. And his shed blood on that cross washes away our sin. He paid the debt that I could never pay. And he wants to give us life. Freely. And then, now that he's given that life to us, am I going to be selfish? Oh, I got this great life. I love this life. I just want to keep this life. I'm going to put it in a box on the shelf over here. See my life? It's over there. You can't touch it. Can't see it. It's a special... Wrong! I need to give it away. I need to give it away. Because that person needs life, and that person needs life, and that person needs life. And the person at the grocery store needs life. And that person over there needs life. Because I needed it too. Give it away. Become a fisher of men. And it's interesting. It's not just Christ that does that, right? There are people in your life, in my life, that are godly examples, right? And I know a lot of people, they get all bent out and say, well, we shouldn't follow any man. And that's true. We shouldn't follow a man. Right? Even what I'm telling you, you should be going like, hey, what does the Bible say? Go, right? Is he saying the right thing here? What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 11:1? It says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. In other words, there are godly people out there that can help us on our way. Paul was one of them. And I can think of a few in my life. Bob Young, when I first got saved from Lakeside, he really helped me to grow. Chris Schroeder's helped me to grow. Mike Antos has helped me grow. And that's not even going over like some of the books that I've read, which I just think are fantastic, right? That these men have written down. But he says, be imitators of me. Paul's saying this. Well, Paul, I would say, be imitators of Paul because he wrote a lot of the New Testament, didn't he? I would be an imitator of Paul. I'm trying. So So should you. So should you. And then Paul does tell us a couple more things. Acts 9:15-9:16, and I'm going to end it with this. He says this: "But the Lord said to him, 'Go.'" See, Paul wasn't always Paul, was he? He was Saul. And guess what Saul was good at doing? Killing people. Right? Christians, especially. He was a Jew of Jews. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He was going to be the top dog in Israel. And then the Lord knocked him off his horse. And Jesus spoke to him and said, "Why do you kick at the goats?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And from heaven, it said, "I am Jesus, whom you persecute." And Paul got saved. Saul got saved. And Jesus changed his name to Paul. And Paul, of course, when he first got saved, and they heard the name, people around heard the name of Saul, what did they think of? Well, he's a killer of Christians. He's a persecutor of Christians. That's what he was doing. But here it says, "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he, Paul, is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel.'" Verse 60, "For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." You have a purpose in Christ. You have something for God to accomplish in your life. And don't think the opposite. God didn't save you by the blood of Christ and put you on that solid foundation of Jesus Christ and put His Spirit inside you to sit on the bench. He has something for you to do. And sometimes it's a few things and sometimes it's many things. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is He's given you to do, do it for the glory of God. Do it all for the glory of God. Is it ministering to the young kids? Minister all to the glory of God. Is it preaching up here from the pulpit? Minister all to the glory of God. Is it cleaning the bathrooms? Right? That's a ministry. Is it vacuuming the carpet? Is it cooking food? Is it praying? Right? Some things are up front and showy, and most gifts are not. It doesn't matter. Do all for the glory of God. Because He has a purpose and a plan for your life. And He wants to work through you mightily. And He will. You let Him, He will work. And He will work mightily. And you'll see it. And it's precious. Life. Life is precious. Your life is precious. You know, I think about Roe v. Wade. And I think about a nation that puts death over life. It usually doesn't last very long. It usually doesn't last very long. And I also think of the fact that when you go against what God wants, woe unto you. I'll tell you, how many nations have gone up against Israel and gotten blasted? Right? Anybody who comes against Israel gets punished because God's like, "You're poking the apple of my eye, and it hurts." I was just reading about, and I did a study on the Edomites. Right? Esau. Jacob and Esau. So Jacob is the father of the children of Israel. Esau was his brother. And Esau became the father of the nation of the Edomites. Now, Jacob and Esau, we know that they always butted heads, right? The one time Esau comes in, he's starving from the, and Jacob's over here, and he says he's got, you know, the porridge, the whatever. And he says, like, "I'm hungry. I'm not giving you anything. I'll give you my birthright." Okay. So he trades his birthright for food. And then dad's about to die. Esau wants a blessing. He goes out hunting, but mom goes, "Hey, Jacob, why don't you go in and look like your brother, and I'll cook the food just like he likes it." And Jacob gets the blessing. And when Esau comes in, there's no more blessing. And he's like, he's weeping to his father. Isn't there a blessing for me? Yeah, you're going to serve your brother. That's great. I'm the firstborn. But then it said right there, Esau hated his brother. And from that moment on, there was enmity between the two, and the Edomites would never back Israel. Never. When Israel was trying to escape and go through the land of the Edomites, they would put up people on the border and say, nope, can't hide here. And in fact, when nations would attack Israel, the Edomites would actually join in. You know, I have brothers. My brother Mike helped his buddies beat up my brother Mark. Did you know that? That's not right. You should always back your family. It's ridiculous. But the Edomites always went against the Jews. Guess what? Read through the book of Obadiah. God punishes the Edomites. And in fact, there aren't any more Edomites. Did you know that? They're all gone. Why? Because they wouldn't bless Israel. Death. We, however, need to choose life. Fight for life. Fight for other people's life. That's what we as Christians should be about. And no matter how hard it gets, because it's going to get hard. Right? Other nations, they've seen it. We haven't, but I think it's coming. Fight for life, no matter what. No matter what. And God will bless. Alright? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for a time in your word. Thank you for encouraging us that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for giving us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he will always walk with us, and he teaches us how to be fishers of men. Lord, let us use our life for you, and let us be used up for you. Until the time of our passing or the Lord returns to take us home, let us live for your glory. We just give you thanks for every day, every breath, our sight, everything. And we just lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If anybody has held a pair of many way needles, they'll have understood what my comments were to you. As a boy in school, we were taught to knit.